Joining us now, she joins us every single Friday. She covers the Utes for KSLSports.com. She's the one and only Michelle Botkin. What's going on, Michelle?
Not much. Just getting prepared for regionals for Utah Gymnastics.
Michelle, can we wrap up the Coeur d'Alene story with the Utah women's basketball team and what the latest developments are? I know there was some obvious and ridiculous pushback against the women, and now it sounds like the police have actually come out and said, yeah, there's audio of it.
Yeah. So I think it was kind of late Wednesday that statement came out, or early Thursday, but there is audio proof. You can visibly hear whatever was hurled. I don't think it takes a lot of imagination to know what was probably hurled their way. I think the statement said they have like 35 different videos or something like that that they've looked at and kind of been able to piece things together. But look, guys, like the moral of this story is just because you're not hearing anything doesn't mean that the evidence doesn't exist. There's a reason why the police don't put stuff out immediately, and it's because they have to do their homework. They have to investigate it. They have to look into it, you know, and just because it's not instantly public knowledge, and I get that we live in an age where we expect instant gratification on everything. It doesn't mean that something isn't happening or something didn't happen or, you know, things of that nature. So, you know, to me, that's the biggest takeaway. Obviously, people are still going to push back, believe what they want to believe. I know that there's a lot of people that want to believe that racism does not exist at all. But, you know, unfortunately, there are a lot of people that say something completely opposite that actually were there and experienced what happened. And hopefully we're on the path to getting them some justice.
So something that continues to bug me, Michelle, and apparently I'm the only one, but let me know if you're catching my drift here, taking the abhorrent behavior out of it for a second. Like, mm-hmm. I even read a national write-up over this thing where they're like, oh, they're staying in Coeur d'Alene because the men's NCAA tournament was being hosted and a youth volleyball tournament. And that's why they got bumped. And it makes me rewind history. And do you remember, what was it, Michelle, like 2 or 3 years ago where the pictures of the weight room and the facilities for the women's NCAA tournament went viral and it was just so awful and terrible. And obviously the women's game was getting the shaft. Well, are you kidding me, Ben? We looked up how many hotel rooms there are in Spokane when this story came out. You're telling me that you can't bump some of the youth volleyball teams? So, I mean, like, you know what I mean? Like, if the NCAA can't make accommodations for them to stay somewhere in the same dang state as where they're playing, like, why was that even allowed to happen? Does that make any sense? Yeah, but you can't host it if you can't find 10 hotel rooms for the team to stay somewhere in the same state as their venue. That's outrageous. And I feel like people read the volleyball thing and they're like, oh, okay, that makes sense. It's like, no, that doesn't make sense.
You know, I mean, interestingly enough, some of those volleyball players were staying at my hotel that they stuck the media in. And I mean, even that was kind of a ways from the venue. I was a little surprised. Like, usually you get put within walking distance, right? So you don't have to like worry about the hassle of cars and all that kind of stuff. It was a little bit of a drive. So, but I do agree with you. And I think that part hasn't been talked about enough. And it was actually a conversation I had with a friend the other day that, you know, as egregious as what happened was, why are we not talking more about the fact that the NCAA okayed this?
Yes, I totally agree.
Yeah. And to your point, it kind of does, I think, showcase once again that there's a lot less appreciation for the women's game than the men's game. And look, I get it. It's burgeoning. It's not quite the moneymaker, but like there's interest there, and there would be more interest there if you would treat them right. So I think there's some things that need to be worked on there. And then, of course, again, even if you have to stick them someplace else, you know, to me, this is a use your noggin moment, and there's not many of us that don't know the history of Eastern Idaho and what kind of happens there and who's been camped out there. And to stick teams that have diversity, typically have a lot of diversity. You know, we're not talking about like the men's swim team where everybody's probably white and there's not going to be an incident. Nobody's going to really say anything if they're there. You know, you're talking about teams that typically have a lot of diversity. They bring in a lot of people from all over the place. And to stick them in a place that has a reputation for not being terribly kind to minorities was really dumb. That was just a dumb move. You could have, I think there has to be a small town somewhere else, right, that could have made those accommodations. But, well, you know, we'll see what comes of this. Hopefully some positive changes come out of this. But it's also the NCAA, so who knows?
Well, sorry, excuse me, for starting the show that way. That's not how anyone wanted to talk, and, you know, obviously, but very important, and glad there's making progress on it. Let's talk about the actual basketball teams now, still off the court, but what is the transfer portal look like for the Utah women? I mean, do we know what to expect from that roster? Obviously, Alyssa Peely leaving and going to the WNBA is a huge, huge loss. She's the best player in team history, but what do they look like next year, and will they go out to the transfer portal to target new players?
Oh yeah, they'll definitely go shopping in the transfer portal and try to kind of bolster the roster. They did have one girl leave. Lonnie White has entered the transfer portal. It's that's sad because I think Lonnie was really coming along, but it's understandable. She would have been behind Gianna Neatkins and Maddie Wilkie next year, most likely. And so it's, you know, it's just about wanting more play time. And to be honest, I don't think she's going to get it at Utah at this point. There's too many people ahead of her. So, you know, bummer, but that also opens that space, you know, to maybe find a Peely replacement or two, you know, find someone to help bolster Anish Vieira, now that Izzy Palmer's also gone. And Deja Young's also gone. She kind of played kind of both spots a little bit there. So, you know, you have a little bit more room to bring in actual needs with Lonnie's departure. But I still expect this team to be really good. Again, they're returning a really solid core with Gianna, with Jenna Johnson, Kennedy McQueen, Maddie Wilkie will be back. Like, those girls have all shown high level ability. It's just about bringing in, you know, some of those key pieces to really kind of bolster that roster, while also hoping to see, you know, more advancement from a girl like Reese Ross, who showed flashes last year, but still, you know, needs to improve a little bit. I would expect she's going to look much different as a sophomore than she did as a freshman this year. Just things like that, that I think will go a long way to kind of keeping this team, this Utah women's team, in a very good spot.
So David James on his show, Michelle, has been throwing around kind of a figure he's been hearing on what you need for an NIL budget to have an NCAA tournament men's team. And he's been hearing around $3 million. Do we have any idea, and they don't have to report it, which is so funny to me, but do we have any idea what the NIL budget Utah men's basketball is working with?
You know, I haven't heard directly for the very reason you stated. They don't have to. But I would imagine, especially after kind of seeing, you know, I think some results that everybody has wanted to see for a while from this program, from Craig Smith. Again, obviously they didn't make the ultimate goal, but there's signs that they're kind of working towards that, right? And so I think people are probably a little more willing to invest. And I think, you know, there's also that knowledge that you're going to the Big 12 and the competition is actually going to be stiffer for you in that league than probably in the Pac-12. And so some real moves need to be made, as well as keeping guys in-house. And that's going to be an interesting thing to watch. Obviously, we saw Raleigh Wooster hit the portal, and I think that's manageable for Utah. Obviously, you would like to keep a guy like him just because he has so much experience. But then it kind of lends itself to the importance of keeping Davon Smith on the roster. And there seems to be some optimism that he will stay. Obviously, there's always a chance, too, that he could hit the portal. You just never know with people whispering in people's ears and throwing out figures and whatnot, he may hear a number that's just too good to be true and make that jump. But I think as of right now, there is optimism that he will stay with the program and that they can kind of build that roster around him with hopefully good NIL funds that can not only keep Davon happy, but also, bring in some pieces to kind of work with him.
Unfortunately, the Utah football team made some news this week because Levani DeMooney is out for the season, it sounds like, with an injury. That's never something you want to hear. A, how does Utah replace him? B, what other names have you heard as far as positives coming out of spring camp for Utah?
Yeah. Unfortunately, injuries are always the name of the game when you're talking about especially football, where it's a contact sport. Knock on wood, that's hopefully one of the only serious injuries we hear about for this team after last year. But thankfully that is a position group that runs pretty deep for Utah. They feel really good about the talent they have. I wouldn't be surprised if they hit the portal and maybe bring in a guy as well, just to kind of make sure they have bodies there. But I don't know that that's necessarily necessary unless they find someone that they really like. But the next name in line there sounds like Sione Fotu is the one that I keep hearing a lot about, a guy that came back from his mission last year, a little bit rusty. I think fans can probably expect him to look a lot more how they would expect him to, and Utah's going to need him to kind of step into that role. So, and then from there, there's, other guys, Trey Reynolds, I'm trying to think of other Josh Calvert. They're going to need those guys to kind of, step up now a little bit more. So, it puts a little strain, but it's nothing to panic about. Disappointing, obviously, but again, it's as long as that's it, that's not going to hurt Utah in the slightest. But then looking towards the positives, I keep hearing great things about both of the younger quarterbacks behind Cam Rising. Isaac Wilson and, of course, Brandon Rose have been making great strides in spring ball by all accounts. And so it's been a really good competition. It sounds like, Wilson's just come in and has been so confident and willing to learn as a freshman, which is a great thing to hear. He's not intimidated by the fact that Brandon Rose has a year or two on him in the system. And then, of course, we're also hearing that Brandon Rose is just looking more comfortable because he's been there a couple of years. And he was kind of in the running, essentially, to be the starter last year until he got hurt. So it sounds like things are clicking for him and that Isaac's just absorbing everything really, really well. And so it's going to be interesting to see what the decision is there. Just overall, it sounds like Utah has done a really great job building this roster. There aren't a lot of areas of concern, I would say. It feels like they finally kind of addressed the depth in most areas. And I would say the other good news, too, is it feels like they're making strides in that defensive backfield. It's, a pretty big project to have to replace guys like Miles Battle, and of course Sione Vaki and Cole Bishop. That's a good chunk of talent that you're having to replace, and by all accounts, guys are stepping up. Guys that they've recruited in as transfers are doing what they hope they would do. So those are things that you kind of like to hear, and obviously with spring ball wrapping up, you still have all summer and fall to kind of work out those bugs. But it sounds like they have a good idea of who they're going to go with and move forward with. And that was something that I think they really needed to accomplish this spring. And it's nice to know that that's not going to be a lingering question for them heading into fall camp.
Michelle, thank you. As always, we look forward to our conversations with you each and every Friday. Appreciate it.
No problem, guys. Have a great rest of your show.
Thanks, Michelle.
Will do. Michelle Bodkin covers the Utes for KSLSports.com.